Blog Talk Radio.
Ananda Vipriya, Priya is the master key. Hallelujah, Priya is the key. Priya is the key. Priya is the master key. Give us that daily prayer, that and daily prayer. Prayer is the master key. Hallelujah. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Give us that daily prayer, that and daily prayer. Prayer is the master key. Hallelujah. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Is a started in prayer, an ended up in prayer. Prayer is the master key. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, glory, honor, and adoration. Oh, God, come down and manifest your power. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lord, take preeminence in all that we'll be doing tonight. Lord, let it be you, Lord Jesus. Give us an outpouring of your spirit and your power to save, to heal, to deliver, and to bless everyone coming to this broadcast tonight. Lord Jesus, touch everyone with your healing power, with your miracle power, with your saving power. Hey, Rabbi Saya, Yandoro Blogodi. Hey, Blendi. God will receive on your throne of grace all that you have for us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, y'all, welcome to the Hour of Miracles radio and TV ministry of the Jesus Christ Global Mission, reaching all the way from Langham, Maryland, USA. This is the Archbishop, Stephen John Yukuru, coming your way with the living word of God, presenting the Rema Bible class online class tonight. And we're going to be rounding up the topic that started yesterday, the interceding Christian, the intercessor. And now tonight we're going to be talking about the ministry of intercession. You know, we need to really explore these topics. Don't just touch it and go. You need to go into every area, every aspect of things, because it's very important. Prayer is the key. Jesus started with prayer and ended up with prayer. Everything starts with prayer. If you're not going to start with prayer, then there's going to be failure and frustration. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We start with God and end with God. You're not going to do things without God. With God, all things are possible. So you start your day with God. You start everything. You start your business with God. Start your home, your family, your marriage. Everything begins with God and the world. Very important. The ministry of intercession. And if you look at the 10th Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 14 to end the end, we also have Exodus 32, verse 9 to 14. At this point, God was angry with his people because they have gone astray, and God was ready to destroy the whole nation, was ready to smash them to pieces. But Moses had to stand in the gap, like we said yesterday. The gap, someone has to stay in the gap. Someone has to intercede. Someone has to travail. Someone has to prevail in prayer for judgment to be saved, you know, for peace. You know, so Moses took that position of an intercessor, and he travailed before God and prevailed before God, asking God to forgive and have mercy. God, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, remember you promised these people that you would take them to the land of promise, and now you want to destroy the whole nation. And he pleaded with God, and God changed his mind, and God didn't destroy the nation of Israel anymore because of the intercessory ministry of Moses, the prophet. So the intercessory ministry has to do with the prophetic as well. Just like the praise and worship, the praise and worship ministry has to do with the prophetic, and then the prayer and intercessory ministry has to do with the prophetic as well. And they are all linked up. You know, the prophetic ministry is the deliverance ministry. The deliverance ministry is the prophetic ministry. Because by the ministry of a prophet, that's what the scripture says. It was through the ministry of a prophet that Israel got deliverance from Egypt. Oh, yes, you know the story. God used the prophet Moses to bring Israel from 430 years of Egyptian slavery. It was by the ministry of a prophet that Israel was delivered from Egypt. And it was also by the ministry of the prophet Moses, Israel was preserved. All these are in the scripture. So there's something about the prophetic ministry, the deliverance ministry, the praise and worship, and the intercessory ministry, they are all interwoven. You can't separate any of them from each other. Now, let me give you a particular example. Once upon a time, the prophet Elisha was asked to prophesy. The king came to the prophet Elisha and he said, prophesy to us. We want to know something about the future. We want to know something. Elisha, prophesy, prophesy. And so Elisha said, bring me a minstrel. Is that someone who plays who plays music? Elisha, prophet Elisha said, bring me a minstrel. Let us play some music. So the minstrel began to play some music. As he was playing the music, then the Bible says the hand of the Lord rested upon prophet Elisha, and he began to prophesy. You see, this is the prophet, and this is the music. This is the praise and worship, and this is prophet Elisha. Prophet Elisha said, no, I can't operate dry. I can't go dry. I need to be under the anointing. The anointing has to come upon me for me to operate effectively. So bring me a minstrel to play music for me. So they brought a minstrel, a little girl, you know, to play the instrument and play the music. As she was playing the music, worshiping, praying, praise and worship, praise and worship, praise and worship, praise and worship, then the Bible says that the hand of the Lord, that is the anointing to prophesy, rested upon prophet Elisha, and Elisha began to prophesy. So you couldn't separate praise and worship from the prophetic. You see, like I told you, they are all linked up together. This is the prophet, this is the prophetic, and this is praise and worship. See, it's all linked up together. It's all linked up together. So the ministry of intercession, the praise and worship, the prophetic, they are all linked up. They are all connected. They all work together. And so Moses led the people from over 300 years of Egyptian slavery and led them to the land of promise, even though Moses didn't take them straight into the land of promise, Joshua did. Because halfway through, the people annoyed Moses, and Moses, out of anger, struck the rock a second time. And God said, Moses, you're not going to get to the land of promise. You're going to see it, but you're not going to enter. That's terrible. You saw the land of promise, flowing with milk and honey, but you did not enter. It's very painful. And that is what's going to happen at the end of time. Except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So some people are going to see the land of promise. They can't just enter at all. It is because of what they are doing with their own life. They cannot enter the land of promise. Though they will see the land of promise, they cannot enter the land of promise. See? My house shall be called a house of prayer. This statement was made by Jesus Christ in three synoptic gospels. Jesus made this statement. It appeared three times in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Luke chapter 19, verse 46. John chapter 15, verse 25. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you turned it to a den of peace. My house, the church, the body of Christ, and even you, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost and that Christ dwells in you? My house shall be called the house of God, a house of prayer, but you turned it to a den of thieves. So the body is being misused. Oh yes, people are misusing their body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, but you are misusing it, you are selling your body. Prostitution and adultery and all evil things are going on. See, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, but you have made it a den of thieves. Thieves cannot go in and stay in your life and do whatever they want to do. And there's a lot of confusion there when your life is not the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't allow God to dwell in you. See, you made it a den of thieves. My house shall be called a place of prayer, not an entertainment. John 15, 25, Jesus made that statement there. Luke chapter 19, verse 46, Jesus repeated it. And in Matthew 21, verse 13, Jesus said it again, my house shall be called a place of prayer. But you made it a den of peace. Not many people made their life a den of peace. Welcome, man of God.
Yeah, amen, Bishop.
Yeah. So today we are talking about the ministry of intercession. Yeah, we have touched on the intercessor. We have talked about the intercessory prayer. Now we're talking about the ministry of intercession itself. We are trying to touch every aspect of this because it's about prayer. Prayer is the key. Jesus started with prayer and ended up with prayer. Jesus said before he started his ministry, for 40 days and 40 nights, he was in prayer. So when Elijah fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses fasted and prayed 40 days and 40 nights two times. The Apostle Paul fasted and prayed 3 days. And then Esther fasted and prayed for 3 days. And then Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days. All these are in the scripture. So these are prayers that are very necessary, foundation prayers. And then we also talked about our house is the house of prayer, our life is the place of prayer, our ministry is the place of prayer, our home is the place of prayer, the church is the place of prayer, but it turned into a den of thieves. So some people have turned into a den of thieves. Please, can you read for us, man of God, Luke chapter 19, verse 46. Luke chapter 19, verse 46.
Luke 19:46. Saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Amen.
Yes. My house is the house of prayer. It's a place of prayer, but you made it a place for thieves. And that statement was made three times. Let's read Matthew 21, verse 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 13.
Verse 13?
Yeah, verse 13. Matthew 21, verse 13.
21, verse 13. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Amen.
Yes, it is written, my house is the house of prayer. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost where Jesus dwells. See? And then John 15:25, Jesus repeated that statement in John chapter 15, verse 25. Let's read that.
John 15,
verse 25.
15:25, 1:5 or 1:6.
John chapter 15, verse.
That a word must be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter come.
Yeah, let's leave that. Okay, so you find that this statement is a very powerful statement. You know, what he's talking about is we making our lives available for the Holy Spirit to dwell in and use as a place of prayer and not to be commercialized. Our bodies are not for sale. No, the other day I was watching TV. I was seeing somebody was he called himself a harlot. He's a man. The person is a man, and he said he's a harlot. He's a prostitute. He's a male prostitute. These are abominable things. Abominable. No, they take drugs, put drugs in their body, put smoke drugs, drink drugs, inject drugs into their bloodstream, call themselves male prostitutes, female prostitutes, all kind of nonsense things like that. And these are all abominations. And God said, they are abominable. We have themselves in the lake of fire. We burn it with fire and brimstone. He has set watchmen over the city, Isaiah 52, verse 6 and 7. Let's read Isaiah 52, verse 6 and 7. God has set watchmen over the city to be praying and interceding. God is calling you to be a watchman. Yes, Isaiah 52, verse 6 to 7.
Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52.
6-2.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's 6 or 7.
Okay, 6-2. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have set watchmen upon thy wall, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Amen.
Amen. Then in the same Isaiah 52, verse 1, it says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness go forth and salvation come forth. See, it's talking about watchmen. Watchmen are people who are watching out. It's like security men. It's like watch night or watch day. They are looking out for what is coming. If the enemy approaching this city, the watchmen of the city, they are able to know when the enemies are approaching the city. In those days, they build walls around the city, and they put watchmen on top of those walls to be watching. When the enemies are coming towards the city, these watchmen will go and inform the people that the enemies are coming. All of you get ready. See, we are the watchmen, the Christians of today, the man of God, the woman of God. You are the watchmen, the watchwomen to watch over the city, to watch over the people of God, to watch over the sheep of God, to make sure they are safe and protected from evil, because the enemy, like a roaring lion, is moving about seeking whom to devour. But thank God, when we have watchmen and watchwomen who are praying and interceding and travailing, I tell you, the enemy cannot penetrate. Why is the devil, you know, having a field day, you know, in some people's lives, you know, having a field day in some places, and he cannot do that somewhere? Is because there are watchmen, there are prayer warriors, there are intercessors who are, you know, holding back the forces of evil, pushing back the forces of evil. With their prayers and intercession, they are able to push back the forces of evil. The prayer of importunity. There is a prayer of importunity which Jesus spoke about in Luke 18, verse 5 to 8. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 5 to 8, the prayer of importunity. That is, you have to continue to pray until you get results. Yes, Luke 18, verse 5 to 8.
Verse 5. Yes, this widow troubled me. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust just said. And shall not God will avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he speedily, nevertheless,
yes,
when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen.
Yes. Amen. We shall continue to pray and never be tired. Continue to pray and never. We will continue to pray and never be tired. Continue to pray and never be tired. Let us continue to pray and never be tired. Continue to pray and never be tired. The prayer of importunity is the prayer that we continue to pray until the result comes. Luke chapter 18, verse 5 to 8. Jesus demonstrated it, said, someone has a need, and he went to wake his neighbor. Neighbor, you got to help me right now. He kept worrying the church until he said he had no choice but to grant her desire. See, that's how a believer, a child of God, a man of God, a woman of God should pray continually, you know, without stopping. That's Operation Push. You pray until you see things happening. Oh, yes. May God give us that spirit in the name of Jesus. Many of us, we give up too soon. We give up. And we think God is not hearing, God is not and God is not going to do anything. See? Discouragement. So in Luke 18, the men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, they pray without stopping. That is intercession. Pray without stopping. Intercede. You pray in tongues. He that prayeth in unknown tongues, pray not unto men, but unto God. You just keep on praying and just keep on praying around the clock. There's no stopping. Some people, when they get to church, that's the only time they pray. That's not it. They pray without faith. Pray without stopping. You pray continually until you see the result. You don't stop. You don't say, oh, I didn't get results, so let me stop now. No. As a servant of God, as a believer, as a man of God, as a woman of God, we are supposed to pray until Jerusalem becomes a praise on it. Until you see things happen. Today I want to read about John Knox. John Knox, powerful, prayerful man of God. And his prayer was, God, give me Scotland or I die. That were the prayers of John Knox. John Knox. Say, God, give me Scotland or I will die. That was the prayer of John Knox. And indeed, in answer to that prayer, God released a revival upon Scotland. Souls, God saved in thousands and thousands of souls. God saved in answer to the prayers of John Knox. And the Queen of England, the Queen of England then, she has this to say about John Knox. Say, I hear the prayers of John Knox more than the military might of Great Britain. The Queen, she confessed with her mouth, say, I hear the prayers of John Knox more than the military strength of England. See, that tells you how powerful a man of God can pray. Read about people like Smith Wigglesworth. Read about people like so many of them, Long Lee, Charles Spurgeon, and all the rest of them, people who prayed until whole city, whole community, God saved. And Martin Luther, who was used to cause revival, also was a man of prayer. And the great servants of God, like the Apostle Paul and Peter, they were all great men and women of prayer who interceded and prayed. See, Jesus Christ himself, like we said yesterday, was a man of intercession. Right now, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession. For us, that's the ministry of Jesus Christ, the ministry of intercession. We find that, we read that yesterday, maybe we can read it again too. Yeah, it starts at sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Please read the Romans 8, 34. Making intercession for us, that is the ministry of Jesus Christ right now. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. praying for us day and night to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered, to be protected, to be blessed, making intercession for us. Yeah, so let's read again Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Yes.
He, Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemned it? It is Christ that died. Yeah, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, also maketh intercession for us. Amen.
Yes. Amen. He seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. That's where Jesus is right now. He's in the ministry of intercession. Because it is the ministry of intercession that brings deliverance. Look at Esther. We talked about Esther yesterday. He went into intercession, into prayers and intercession, and the whole nation of Israel was delivered from Haman. Haman wanted to destroy all of them. But through the intercessory prayers of Esther, the whole nation got saved. You know, and then we talked about the prophet Elijah, who turned the whole nation back to God. The man of prayer, a man of intercession. You know, James chapter 4 said Elijah was a man like us, but yet he was able to pray and heaven answered, spoke the word, and it came to pass because he was in touch with the gifts of heaven. And you see, in Acts Apostle chapter 2, before the Pentecost, in Acts Apostle chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, the disciples were in one accord. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. They were in one accord in the upper room. And they were praying for the outpouring of the Spirit for the Pentecost, the promise of the Father. They were waiting on God for the promise of the Father. And it came down. On first day, they prayed, nothing happened. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, seventh day, eighth day, ninth day. On the tenth day of that prayer was answered. Heaven was opened. The outpouring of the Spirit took place. And they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. They didn't hurry away from the presence of God. They stayed for days in the presence of God in prayer. Not many people would like to spend time with God. I read one book, it said, alone with God. Alone with God. I read all the scriptures about instances where people were alone with God. We'll start with Jacob. Jacob was alone with God when he wrestled with the angel, and his name was changed. His nature was changed and his life was changed at that moment. There's a time of being alone. The man who wrote the book of Revelation, he was persecuted and driven from the nation. And he was away in the island of Patmos when he got the book of Revelation and he wrote it down. We are reading the book of Revelation today because someone was alone with God somewhere. Oh, yeah, there are times you need to be alone with God. But when Isaiah was in the temple alone with God, when the train, the heavenly train came down and the Lord began to minister to him and imparted to him and commissioned him into the prophetic ministry, the prophet Isaiah received a divine impartation in Isaiah chapter 6. There is a time when you have to come out from amongst them. Jesus was not always with the people. At certain times, Bible says Jesus withdrew from the multitudes and went to the mountains, to solitary places, to the quiet places, to commune with the Almighty. There is a time of waiting. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. Please read for us Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3.
7. 40, verse 1, 2.
Yeah.
Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going.
Yes. I waited patiently for the Lord. Thou King David. That man, he understood God, the operations of God. And I wish everyone would be like that. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard me. And he put his tongue in my mouth. He put me on a solid rock to stay. There is a time of waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount on wings as eagles. They shall soar and never be weary. There is a time of waiting in the presence of God, in the place of prayer, in intercession, in the place of travailing and prevailing, like Daniel, like Joseph, like Moses, like Esther, where you stay in the presence of God. Even without intercede and pray in earnest, then where is our Christianity? Where is the Christian life? Because the life of Jesus was filled with prayer and intercession. And even the disciples, their life was filled with prayer and intercession. It must be something about the patriarch of old in Genesis 49. You see Jacob praying over his children. Jacob was praying over his children, Genesis 49, verses 1 to 10. And that prayer was a thing of intercession, because if he didn't do that, he having imparted to his children. So Jacob imparted to the children. And he laid hands on them and prayed and prophesied over them. Whatever he said was what it became. How many of us pray for our children? How many of us pray for our families? How many of us pray for our husbands? How many of us pray for our wives? How many of us pray for our nation? How many of us intercede for all the issues we have around? How many of us are doing that? Everyone is very beautiful. Everyone is very beautiful, day and night. Do everything except pray, except intercede, except travail and prevail. God needs to heal our land. How is he going to do it? It is you and I who have to stay in the presence of God for him to heal our land. It is you to fill the gap. It is you to fill the space. It is you. I was listening to a song. Said, may the Lord depend on you. May the Lord depend on you. What for a man who will fill the gap upon Lord? And I have to do it myself. It's a change that God will seek for one man, just one man. When I read that Ezekiel 22, verse 30, I think, but there are people all over the place. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, say, but God spoke for a man. God is seeking for one man, for one boy, for one girl, for one woman. God is seeking. God is looking out. Who will go for me? Who will I send? Isaiah chapter 6. Then Isaiah said, me, I will go. It's very difficult to Isaiah chapter 6. Who will I send? Who will go? Who will deliver the message? There was no God. Therefore, when Isaiah said, Lord, send me hereabout, I will go. How many people are ready to go? Everyone is very busy trying to make money and wealth and rich. And the scripture says, would you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things that be added unto us? We are not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when God says, who will go for me? Nobody is ready to put their hands up. And he's saying, God. Our prayer today, may God find you, may God find you, may God find you, may God find you, may God find you. May you not keep looking for somebody. Read through the scripture. God has always chosen a faithful few. Sometimes we think that God needs a million people to do what he gotta do. No. God is looking for that faithful man, that faithful woman, that faithful boy, that faithful girl who say, here am I, Lord, I will be the vessel. Esther came forward and she laid her life down before God. Abraham made himself an intercessor, and then Moses, and then Daniel, and then Joseph, and then the apostle Paul. And so many others. These are the examples you can emulate on a daily basis. Don't fill your life with trash. Let God use you. Make yourself available. God is calling you. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says God is speaking for one man, one boy, one girl, one woman somewhere. Who he will use in this end time to bring salvation to the Lord. Are you ready to go? Someone prayed for you to be saved. Someone evangelized. Someone came to preach. Someone prayed. Someone interceded for you to have salvation today. Feeding into the salvation of God. We are getting ready to pray. But I want you to look into your life and see if you are really surrendered, if you are really yielded to whom you give yourself to. To him you are in service. You want to make yourself a servant to the devil, that's okay. You want to make yourself a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's okay. Because God is not going to impose on you to make a decision. The choice is yours. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says God is calling for someone to feed the gap and didn't see nobody. How come the whole wide world filled with billions of people, nobody was willing to the use of God? Sometimes God will look to the earth and he won't see faithful people. In the days of Noah, Bible says that God looked to the earth. When he looked into the earth, he saw only Noah and his family as his own. And then the scripture says, the heart of people was full with evil continually. So all those multitudes of people in the days of Noah, their heart was filled with evil continually. Only Noah and his family heeded the voice of God. There's a question for you tonight. Will you hear the voice of the Lord? Will you do what God Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, Jeremiah sent me. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, Jeremiah sent me. Anywhere, send me. Anytime, send me. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, Jeremiah, send me.
Jeremiah, send me.
Yes, let's pray. Jeremiah, send me, Lord. Yes, Lord. Use us, Lord, for that purpose for which you created us. Help us, Lord, to fail you. Help us, Lord, to answer your call upon our lives. Help us to do your will, not our will, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. We pray for everyone who have heard this word, that they will be doers of your word and not just hearers, you know. We pray that they will answer your call. Your call to serve. Your call to do the will of God. Let them not run away like Jonah. Let them come seeking the Lord. And may they find the Lord in their lives. May they be doers of your word and not just hearers only. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Pastor Ivan, do you want to tell us something about intercession? Somebody wants to be an intercessor, want to be in the ministry of intercession. What should the person do?
Yeah. If a person, somebody want to be in the ministry of the intercession, I think what I have to do is that person himself might be a prayerful person.
Because if
you are not a prayerful person, you won't be able to intercede for others. So you yourself must first of all be a person of a prayerful person. And then also you have to do it continually. Continually, you have to wait upon the Lord and then have some kind of sacrificial love for people. You have to take it upon yourself and sacrifice yourself for the nation, as Esther did, as Daniel did for 21 days, you know, as other prominent people did it in the Bible. Daniel did it, you know. He had some kind of love for the Israelites that he wanted to deliver them from this kind of captivity. So if you want to intercede for others, you have to be a prayerful, you have to pray and fast, you know, because all these people, I mean, they were in prayers and they were in fasting. That is also one aspect that can strengthen you so that you can download the information from God and give it to the people that you want to intercede. So you have to love people. You have to have unconditional love for people. You have to be a person of prayer, you know. You have to prepare yourself so that you can intercede for the people, because as you are interceding for people, God will also intercede on your behalf. And when you are interceding for people, the reason why you have to be prayerful is that when you are interceding, because we are not battle with the flesh and blood. We are battle with the principalities and the demons and the evil ones. So once you are interceding for people, you have to be prayerful so that you can also protect yourself too. You know, we are not dealing with the flesh and blood. So you have to be a person of prayer, you know, so that, and then the fasting too, and so that you can withstand strongly against the weapons of the enemies. So all that you need to have is you need to have some kind of weapon, like I said. You have to be prayerful and fasting too. And then you need to pray all the time too. And you need to have unconditional love for the people. You know, you need to stand in the gap. You need to stand in the gap. Just like Isaiah God said, whom shall I send? And he came out and said, here I am, send me. You know, you need to sacrifice yourself. You need to sacrifice everything you have by opportunity for God. You have to forego everything and stand in the gap for the people, do and die. You know, you don't need to think about what will happen to me. Like Esther said, even if I perish, so be it. So you need to sacrifice yourself for whatever will happen to you and trust in your God and trust in God that my God will never let the enemy to consume me. It's very important. That is the simple thing, or that's what I have to say right now. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank God for that.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're going to be coming here today. That's Saturday, Sunday. We're going to have the same section again. But we are finished with this session. We're going to have another topic for next weekend. And I tell you, God is blessing so many lives through this teaching.
Amen.
And I know God is doing a new thing in your life.
Amen.
We thank everyone for the cooperation. God continue to bless you all abundantly. In the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus loves you, and we all love you too. Amen. On the same time next week, have a blessed holiday in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Bishop. God bless.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
All right.
Okay. Okay.